What's the most important resource that you have? If you really thought about this deeply, I think you'd come to the same conclusion that Joey and I did. It's time. In our newest book, What's Without Wall Street, The 3 Steps to Financial Freedom Through Passive Income, we talk about how are we tracking that time? What is the thing that we can do to get more of that time back?
That's right. If you've ever been listening to our podcast and thought, man, it would be amazing if I could take all the things that you guys have learned over the last 10 years and just summarize them, put them in some way to easily digest them and take action, that's what this book is all about. You're not going to want to miss it. Go to wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/newbook and get your copy today.
Welcome to the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast, your guide to understanding how to get out of the Wall Street rat race and start your own mailbox money lifestyle. Now, don't let these handsome Southern draws fool you. These financial minds are teaching our country to enhance savings, increase cash flow, and create passive income, all without the help of Wall Street. Are you ready to break through? Now, here are your hosts, Russ Morgan and Joey Murray.
Welcome. This is the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast. Your host, Joey the Italian Stallion Murray, joined as always by Russ the Idea Guy Morgan. All right, Russ, true thoughts, your thoughts on theft.
Theft?
Yes, stealing.
I don't like it.
Well, I would agree.
I'm against it.
I'm against it too.
Now, and especially today.
Okay, what do you mean?
Somebody stole my password to my email.
Yeah, that's a rough one.
So they started sending out emails on my behalf in broken English to try to get back financial information for people.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's one of those things you really want to like be able to hire some like former Navy SEALs or something to go hunt these guys down in their house, wherever they are, Sri Lanka. I don't know, you know, I don't know where they are. But like at this point, I'm frustrated.
Well, tell us how you really feel about it.
This is not consume my day.
I mean, is it kind of like you feel like somebody just mugged you?
They have come and stolen property from me and potentially others. I really hope nobody else is getting caught up in this thing.
Well, I mean, how different is that than our government coming and taxing us?
You mean stealing from us?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't want people caught up in that either.
Yeah, who does?
Nobody.
We need to keep more of what we earn.
I think we need to keep all of it.
Okay, tell me more.
Well, I mean, Joey, I'm frustrated. I'm grateful that we have people that can help us with this stuff. Because right now, I feel helpless in how to get back my privacy, my email. I mean, right now, they're literally responding to emails on my behalf. Somebody
as if they're you.
Yes. Somebody like responded to the email they sent out. It was like, yes, please send email money now, urgent, whatever they said. Oh. And somebody was like, hey, Russ, it sounds like somebody hacked your email. And they responded back, no hack. Send money email now.
Oh.
It's like, come on. Is it Yoda responding to him?
No. This is rough, Russ, but it's not too uncommon for people to feel that way about the taxes that they're paying.
You keep going back to taxes.
I'm going to taxes. That's what our guests, Todd Martis and Walt Dallas with Capital Preservation Services, are here today to do. And they're in our community every day, accessible for your questions.
Well, I can tell you what, if you have a problem with taxes, you can call them. Who do you call if you have a problem with this password on your email thing right now? I'm just still on the email.
I'm going to let you know whenever I find that out. I have no idea.
I don't know the answer to it, and it's frustrating.
Well, you're fired up. Today, we need to be fired up about sharing this knowledge. Some of the things that, by the way, they did help you come up with a way to save
They actually did, Joey. And I was doing the math a second ago. After going through this interview, I went into my office because I want to figure out how do I save money. So I have a $72,000 tax hit about to happen because of a piece of property I sold. And the Walt Dallas, the tax attorney, said, Russ, did you know about this unique idea of how you can do? And I won't tell you because
don't give it away. Come on.
You have to go listen to the episode. And at first I was like, okay, well, let me. And I went in my office, Joey, and I was sitting there saying, okay, well, if I didn't pay the $72,000 today, what could I do with it over the next 30 years as opposed to following his approach? I'm going to pay more in taxes, quote unquote taxes, using his method. The difference is I'm going to have $72,000 to offset it for the next 30 years. Joey, the number is big, super big. Think about our land business, bro. This $72,000 in our land business is going to produce about 100 to 200% a year.
Yeah.
Is that easy, rough? Is easy. That rough? As opposed to having to pay maybe 20 to 25% on taxes on a really small number. It's stupid. When you see it, I'm gonna have to show it to you in a second. It's pretty cool.
All right. Would you be willing to share that in the inner circle?
We'll see. Yes, maybe.
Okay. Well, we're not gonna give away the rest of the show. But at least now Russ is smiling. Somebody stole his identity, but they gave him back his taxes. So we've got a win and a loss, and it's evening out. Let's get into this interview with Todd and Walt.
Joey, I know we want to get into this episode, but really quickly, I would be remiss if I did not say this. The reason we have an amazing guest like today's episode is because you listening are constantly subscribing, rating, and reviewing and sharing this. So today's episode is not like any other. Make sure you share it with at least one friend that will love it. Joey, how many downloads we are at now?
We just surpassed 200,000 because of you.
That's amazing. Please keep the movement going. Share this episode.
Welcome into the show. We have Walt Dallas and Todd Martis of Capital Preservation Services. Man, welcome.
Glad to be here.
Good. Thank you for having us on.
Yeah, no, it's fun to have people who help us every single day. Every single year, keep more of the money that we make. And that's why we wanted to bring them to you, because these two minds are the ones who have figured out the tax code. And thankfully, because Joey and I know nothing about the tax code, we're decent at making money, but we need people like you guys to help us keep it. And we're hopeful that we'll be able to glean some of these nuggets that you've shared with us, with our audience today. So no pressure. That a heck of a thing to have to live up to.
Yeah, it's the bar pretty high.
Go fund an RRA. That's all you got to do.
Now, Walt, we know that there are rules on our podcast.
No cussing.
No cussing.
Like that. Okay.
And IRAs and stock market are on the ban list from the podcast.
All right. I'm not warned.
Well, guys, you guys are definitely helping us to keep more as we run towards the tax code. And I think it would be worthwhile. This is just like current day stuff. Russ just had a great thing happen. He just sold his lake house.
Could you guys believe that? I actually had a successful real estate transaction. Now, I had nothing to do with it other than I bought it and then I'm selling it for more than what I paid for it. But it wasn't because I did any real planning. But now the question comes up is, how do I do that? But I want to, if it's okay, Joey, can we not go there just a second?
We're going to table it.
Just 1 second.
Okay.
Because you said something in your introduction that most people miss, but it's something that Todd and Walt, you guys say all the time when we're talking and you're meeting with our clients. You say, we run two, not from the tax code. Would you explain for the person listening what that even means?
Yeah, I'll kind of take a stab and then let Walt say it better. One of the things that's kind of frustrating for a lot of our clients before they engage with us is they really felt like there were two gamuts, if you will, from a tax planning perspective. The first is what they were getting from a lot of their CPAs, and that is, hey, you're doing everything you can do. Be glad you make so much money. Fund one of those bad names like IRA or 401k, or even worse, hey, you need to go spend some money or buy some equipment, right? And then the other side of the spectrum, you know, the paradigm shift, if you will, is crazy stuff like moving money offshore, not reporting income, you know, coming up with these extravagant, you know, structures and strategies that literally have a lot of them have backfired. And if you want money out of that account, you literally can go to that island and take a certain amount of money out and bring a certain amount back in your pocket. It's stuck. And so clients hear that, and our potential clients, and they think that's where, you know, tax planning lies, either on one side or the other. And what we do is exactly what you say. We run to the tax code. We look at the meat and potatoes, if you will, of corporate structuring and different techniques and strategies, all that fall within the grounds of obviously being legal, but also not just legal, but defensible in the eyes of the IRS. And unfortunately, a lot of advisors we work with in the accounting world just don't seem to be interested in diving into the tax code to see what's available.
Well, when you talk about that, so, I mean, obviously, we've said this on the show, there's 7 or 8 pages that define income, and there's like 10,000 pages that show all the exceptions to the rule. So, Walt, as a tax attorney, is it your job to go through those 10,000 pages and figure out which ones apply to Joey and how he can save money, or what does that look like?
Well, the folks that deal in tax law are going to be specialists in one part of the code. They're not going to know the entire code. I don't know anybody that has ever professed to even know the entire code, much less know it. So we're all going to know our particular tax codes that relate to our type of client. We have a particular picture of the type of client that we do well with. And based upon that, we've determined various strategies that are available. Then we research each of the strategies in the Internal Revenue Code. And yes, they do put the good stuff in the back. You know, after we get through defining income, they throw all the exceptions in the back, and that's where we tend to live. But that's how we do it. We just make sure that each plan is specifically designed for that particular client, but it's going to come out of our toolbox. That in our toolbox are going to be all these different strategies we've used over and over and that have been tested and have passed through the audit and appeals and tax court levels.
Well, is that kind of one of those things, kind of going back to what you were saying, Todd, is that when you find these codes that have worked and that you guys have seen them, you know, be passed through audits and time tested, they're not these new shiny objects like, okay, let me show you this place somewhere in the Caribbean kind of thing. this is an idea that we know and we use over and over and over, but sometimes that shiny object syndrome sends people down a path of finding other things. What would you say, though, is one of those tried and true kind of bread and butter tax strategies that you guys implement on a daily, weekly basis with clients that has big results?
I would say the 280A, the dwelling unit rental program, is a big one. This one goes back to your point, not extremely shiny or new. It was originally written when Dwight Eisenhower was the president, so, you know, decades and decades ago. And what this code was originally meant to do is allow certain group of people, particularly the people who lived at the Augusta National Golf Course, to rent their homes out during the week of the Masters and not have to pay tax on that rental income. Over time, it's been rewritten, recodified, and the newest legislation that goes back to the 80s says that it doesn't have to be your primary dwelling unit rental, and it can be any facility that you can sleep on, cook on, or has restroom facilities. And then they expanded it, saying that you had the ability to rent it out 14 days, not 7, and not report that as taxable income. So we use that time-tested tax code 280AG to allow our clients in it to have business meetings in their home, much more efficient business meetings many times, because there's not the distractions of having a meeting in your home, in your office, nor are there the limitations many times of just meeting space. For example, our firm is running out of space. We're having to create a new conference room. And so a lot of, you know, our clients don't have one room that will house 7, 8, 10 people. This allows them to have those meetings or those office events at their home, charge a fair market value daily rental rate that's assessed by an outside party. And many of our clients move, well, when you say $20,000 to $40,000 a year out of their business.
Yeah, some of them up to $70,000. And, of course, we have our clients, if they're going to participate in that, they're going to get an MAI appraisal from a MAI appraiser, which is the highest level of appraiser that you can find.
Yeah, so the business rents the house. So the business takes a rent deduction. The check is then written to the homeowner, which is our client, and whatever amount that is fair market value is paid to that individual up to 14 days. And again, that's not a taxable event, but it did create a tax deduction at the corporate level. So that's just a time-tested technique, and obviously that's one of about 20 techniques we use, but that's a pretty good one.
So Todd, I know what you're talking about because Russ has graciously hosted me at his lake house. Sometimes I feel like he's asked me to come more often as a result of this. So I thank you guys for telling him he could do this. But so walk us through an example, like maybe not Russ's example exactly, but somebody that you've worked with, give us an example, how much their house, their daily appraisal was worth. And then how they had the meeting, just some details around that.
Sure. So the first thing we need is an appraisal done on the facility. And usually we use their most recent appraisal. That gets turned over to the MAI appraiser. He then does comparable studies within a 60-mile radius of that facility to determine what other meeting facilities are renting for. And then we break it down by square footage.
That's different from like the sales in a residential appraisal. We're talking about actual, like the Hilton or the Marriott or wherever you would have an actual business meeting. You're comparing those type of spaces to the house.
Vestavia Hills Country Club. I mean, you know, we want the higher end meeting facilities, and there's a cost per foot that can be, you know, re-engineered out of all the meeting facilities. And this gives us the basis of not just coming up with a number and making up in the event of an audit, we have something to rely on. So let's say that the comp comes back that in your area, it's 70 cents a foot. Okay. And let's say you have a 4,000 square foot house.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple math. That means that your comps would validate roughly $2,800 per meeting event. We would say, hey, let's scale it back to 2,500 and just go a little under the appraisal. In that scenario, we're moving roughly $30,000 a year out of the business tax-free. Now, what's interesting is that individual would have to make about $50,000 in salary to be able to put $30,000 in their pocket tax-free. So not only is it $30,000, it's the equivalent of them, and it takes that stress of having to draw $50,000 out to keep $30,000.
Yeah,
similar to a lot of things y'all do.
Well, it's a great thing, and I've even been able to convince my wife why having Joey down at our lake house more frequently. I selfishly love spending time with him, right? I mean, their family is an amazing thing. My wife is kind of an introvert, so she likes our family being together. And so when I say, hey, by the way, we're going to have, you know, the business down here, and we're going to talk business. Unfortunately, that for her, she doesn't like that. But, you know, we're going to be able to write ourselves a check for $3,000. That means that I don't have to go make $5,000 to pay $3,000. And she's like, okay, this is working for me.
Yeah, you know, and the truth of the matter is most of our clients are having a lot of these meetings anyway. They're having events at their home for their staff. And there's some rules. We're not going to get into all the rules, but obviously there's rules. This is one of those things. Like the Evel Knievel stunts, don't go try this at home by yourself, because you can get into a lot of trouble if you don't, you know, do everything properly from a documentation standpoint. But yeah, that's a good technique, and again, just one of many.
Another one that's easy to illustrate is people latch onto this one because everybody understands medical expenses you can't deduct them. Everybody knows that one. And you say, well, if you have the proper structure and you have a C corporation involved, you can deduct it because you can make yourself an employee, which is easy to do. And under Section 105, all those medical expenses that used to not be deductible are now 100% deductible. People get that example because everybody's got medical expenses and they like being able to deduct that stuff.
Well, I know this because we've implemented it with you from a corporate structure, having that C corp. But most people that are hearing that right now, they're saying, wait, red alert. My accountant said there's no benefit to having a C corp. Like, why would I have a C corp other than maybe what you just mentioned was this whole medical reimbursement or medical deduction situation? Why would you benefit from a C corp otherwise?
Yeah. You know, the accountant only knows what the accountant knows. And it's not the accountant knows that the accountant doesn't know everything, because Lord knows, Todd and I don't know everything about the code. So there's always going to be some things that we can learn about the code. But having a C corporation is going to be very attractive to a lot of our clients because it has a top rate. The only federal rate is 21% now. And a lot of our clients are at 37% marginal rate. And so that allows there's some savings, arbitrage savings, if you can trap some income inside the C corporation and use that lower bracket. Also, there are a lot of employee benefit plans and things like that that are available to C corporations that are not available to flow-through entities. For example, educational expenses would be available for this type of a structure, and those educational expenses for the children would not be deductible under most circumstances. So those are two examples. Business meals also are more easily deductible in the C corporation world because there is a meals for the convenience of the employer statute that we can utilize also. So the list kind of goes on. You usually have about 12 different items that you're going to be able to use through the C corporation, but not through an S corporation.
And in your CPA, Joey is going to most likely say, hey, I'm not sure I would consider a C corp because you have this nasty possibility of a double taxation, right? Where if you distribute shareholder dividends out, it's taxed at 21% in ordinary income. And while that's a true statement, it's pretty easy to avoid that by what? Not distributing shareholder dividends. All right. That's pretty easy, right? We avoided it. Then you get into just, as we like to talk about, corporate structuring benefits. If the C corp is properly structured and properly owned, we carve out certain benefits for your clients or our clients that aren't available to rank and file clients of the operating company. And then it really just falls back to basic tax codes don't make any sense. There's certain things you can do in certain corporate structures you can't do in the others. And so that's why we tell clients, hey, if there are valid reasons for having multiple corporate structures, from a tax planning perspective, that's where it begins. That's where the tax savings begins. And then again, we run to the tax code and we run and say, hey, what can I do in a C corp that I can't do in an S corp? Or what can I do in an LLC that I can't do in an LLC that takes an S corp election? And that's really the basics. That's where it begins.
Well, I know there's way more behind that, so I know we don't have time to get into all those details, but I am glad that you brought up the meals for the convenience of the employer, Walt, because you know me, I love to eat. And I'll tell you, just dropping by somewhere on the way home and getting that takeout multiple times a week practically for my family, that's a game changer for us. It takes the pressure off my wife. We're going to talk business anyway. And by the way, we've had many meals for the convenience of the employer at your lake house, Russ. I mean, you see how this all fits together? Like
it does.
This is a win, 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 win.
I love it. All we do is win.
All we do is win.
but here's a point, and I don't want this to get missed. And most of our savvy listeners didn't miss this, but just in case, you're not saying that someone's sole entity should be a C corp. What you're saying is that there's multiple entities sometimes that are needed. So maybe your business is an LLC or an S corp or whatever. And there's a reason sometimes to have to bolt on a C corp for a whole different purpose that would work in unison with your other entity, correct?
Well said. Yeah, that's a great point.
Okay. Well, I just want to make sure we didn't miss that. All right. So being selfish as I am, I want to go back to Joey's initial right out of the gate. He's trying to jump to it. I appreciate it, bro.
Hey, I'm trying to help you out.
All right. So if you've ever had something that you sold and had a gain on, congratulations. You're in the minority of people.
You're winning.
Right?
Winning.
That is definitely a win. And I'm about to experience this, Walt. My wife and I bought a lake house last summer. And we bought it from a couple who unfortunately were going through a divorce, and the price of the house when they put it on the market was significantly higher, probably 20% higher than what I end up paying for it. And some of that is just because timing hit, you know, when we were buying it. Some of it was just my shrewd negotiation skills.
And a very small amount.
So I bought it, and it is a beautiful house. We love everything about it. Todd, you've been there. The only thing that I don't like is that the fact it's on a steep lot, and my in-laws, as they're getting older, it's a little tough to get down to the water. So we found another lot across the way, not too far from where we're at. It's flat. We want to build on it. Now the good and the bad to this, Walt, is that we bought it and we're selling it at 25% higher than what we paid for it just 13 months ago. And so I'm, you know, my brain's going, okay, how can Walt and Todd help me not pay as much in taxes? What ideas can happen, right? Taxes are good because it means you have a gain, but you know, I do feel like it's our patriotic duty to pay as little in taxes as we possibly can. And so, and that kind of goes back to Donald Trump, right? I mean, Donald Trump in the last election series debates, when Hillary was busting him on how much money he was paying in taxes or not paying in taxes, he said, that makes me smart. And if I don't want to be dumb here, right? So I just want to be smart. If there's a way for me to reduce my level of taxation in this. So what creative ideas could you share with me that also might apply to someone listening who might have some similar type of gain, or it could be a gain from a sale of a business or something else?
You have two great examples of what to do and what not to do. Donald Trump saved all that money, we think, through conservation easements. I'm not 100% sure, but we think that's what he did. He saved millions of dollars in taxes because he was smart. All Hillary and Bill could figure out to do was donate underwear. That was it. Good as I got.
Okay. I don't even know where you're going. I'm not sure we can go there.
true story. Okay. So you've got to lay cash.
Okay, hold on a second. You can't move on from that. You got to tell me the underwear story. I know there's people right now stopping Googling underwear in Clinton.
Please don't Google that.
They'll find it, because when Clinton made a deduction, they started looking at his tax return. They looked under the tariff deduction, and he donated his underwear to a charity and took a deduction for that. True story. It was not new underwear, I understand.
Was this the
now, if you're Bill Clinton, maybe you're
in the museum. I would suggest we cut this discussion off currently and move on to
I think that's a better idea, because I had a zinger coming your way.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So we'll take your word on the underwear story. All right. What was the other brilliant thing I talked about? I forget. Okay.
So you got a lake house, you're going to sell, and you're saying, how can I mitigate the taxes? How can I do something in the planning context? Well, one of the ideas is, if you sell, of course, you get capital gains. And that's a win in itself, because you were beyond the time frame. The other item you might could do is create an irrevocable trust. You have to follow the rules, of course, that would be laid out. And you could sell your home to your lake house to the irrevocable trust in exchange for a note coming back to you, a 30-year note at very low interest. So all of a sudden, you've sold your house to the trust. So the trust has bought that house, and it gets a fair market value cost basis now. Because when you owned it, you got a low cost basis. Right. Now that you've sold it to the trust has a high cost basis. And the trust can now sell it to whoever you want to sell it to, based on fair market value and based upon cash. So all that cash would come into the irrevocable trust. And the irrevocable trust, and that will be controlled by you, is the former owner of the house that was sold. We have an LLC. We have the cash in the LLC. And so you can do whatever you want to with that cash. You can buy another lake house. Should be a good idea. And then that way, you bought a lake house, but you don't have any gain. You are going to have to use some of those funds to pay that note back, right, over time.
Yeah.
When you pay that note back, you will recognize capital gain over a 30-year period. So when you defer taxes that long, you've kind of won the game. So that's just one idea that you could use to not pay so much in capital gains tax when you sell that lake house.
And that's a great play for stock options, right? You know, one of the things that kills a lot of our clients is they bought Apple at $89, you know, dollars. Mm-hmm. Now it's $400 or whatever.
A lot of people right now just waiting for the long-term gain to kick in on some of that stock, because we've seen such a rise in Apple, and a lot of people bought individual securities.
I know.
I thought when he said that,
guys. Come on.
So the capital gains, why it's better than ordinary income, for some people, it's really not. You know, if you're a medium income earner, and you know, you may be at a 17, 18, 15% effective rate. But you sell an asset, or you inherit an asset and you want to sell it. The gain could be up to 28.3% by the time you add, you know, long-term capital gains, state taxes and Medicare taxes on there. So many times capital gains, although we kind of sneer and say, well, that's a lot better than ordinary income. And it is, most of the time, it can be right up there and pretty painful, just like ordinary income tax. So very few people, you know, most people go, I'm just going to pay it because it's capital gains and that's better than ordinary. And we would advise the clients to not do that until please talk to us.
I've got to redeem myself. So you've got all this money in an irrevocable trust. It's asset protected. It's generation skipping tax protected. It's estate tax protected. It goes on and on. Take it and fund a life insurance policy. Have the funds grow internally inside the policy. And then when you need money to pay the note back, borrow it back from the policy at no gain and pay off that note.
Now you're speaking our language.
Am I down to one strike?
Yeah. No, yes. In the immortal words of Lloyd from Dumb and Dumber, you have gone and totally redeemed yourself. Well, guys, I know that taxes can be dry, but we are so past dry at this point. We've hit some funny moments. We totally need to do this more frequently. Thankfully, you guys are in our community. You guys have tax groups. You have a free group. You have a paid for group, and you have a client group in here where these ideas and strategies are flowing frequently. So if you're not in our community, why aren't you in our community at this point?
No brainer.
Go immediately to community.wealthwithoutwallstreet.com. Join up. And I want you to go to the groups tab, and right there, you're going to see CPS tax group. There's one that says free. In there is these guys are giving nuggets every single week. And then I want you to take the next step. I want you to join their paid for group. It doesn't cost much, but in there, you're going to start to actually get some of these ideas they were sharing with us of how we are actually implementing those things in the back of the tax code, those little nuggets the secrets that are helping us be more efficient with our dollars, keep more of our dollars so that we can go and do things with those dollars that we really want. Guys, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really had a lot of fun with you. And I hope you as listener were able to take something from this other than the fact that Joey likes to eat, and I actually finally had a real estate transaction that was.
Hey, Russ, take 2 seconds and just make them aware that our firm also is having some live Q&A sessions on Friday.
Nice, yeah.
And so if you've got something specific you want to ask our group of attorneys, feel free, or you can reach out to myself through the Wealth with Wall Street app. And directly communicate with me, but take advantage of those attorneys. I mean, our group is offering a pretty nice service for a free Q&A once a week. So want to make sure that everybody's aware of that.
Absolutely. That is awesome. All right, guys. Thank you so much for coming on. We had a lot of fun.
This has been the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the show to break free of the Wall Street mindset and begin building wealth on your own terms. In places you understand, so that your wealth will never run dry. See you next episode.